Shall we pray? Father, we pray that you will today lead us in thy way everlasting. May thy Spirit even now search out our hearts and those areas of our lives as you minister to us through thy word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Today we start going through the Bible all over again, beginning with Genesis, the first five chapters. What an excellent time for you to decide to read the entire Bible. And starting off by the first five chapters this afternoon, and joining with us as we go through the Word of God, that we might understand more fully the purpose and the plan of God for each of our lives. This morning we'd like to draw your attention to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Genesis is the book of beginnings. The word Genesis actually means beginning. And thus we have the beginning of the universe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then we have the beginning of the life forms. And then we have the beginning of man. But when we come to man, we find that he is vastly different than the other life forms that God created. For with the other life forms, God spake, and they existed. But with man, God formed man out of the dust of the earth, so that man became actually God's handiwork, though he may speak other creatures into existence. When it comes to man, there is a molding and a shaping by the hand of God as he forms man after his likeness and in his own image. And then God breathed into that dust the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So there is a touch of God upon every man today. There's a definite distinction between the body that God formed out of the earth and the life that God imparted into that body. So the man really is the spirit that was formed when God breathed into that body the breath of life. And the body just the dwelling place, the house in which man was to live. We find that man, created in the likeness of God, was created with the capacity for fellowship with God. And there is something beautiful about this story where we read, and Adam heard God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. As God came down to commune with his creation, what a beautiful picture. But what a tragic picture as we continue to read, and Adam hid himself from the presence of God. Now, why would Adam seek to hide himself from the presence of God? This is neurotic behavior. Why would he do it? It was because Adam at that point possessed a guilty conscience. How How futile it was for him to try to hide himself from the presence of God. Even as we read, David the psalmist understood the futility of trying to hide from God. Where can I flee from thy spirit? Where can I flee from thy presence? David said. For if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and I flee to the uttermost parts of the sea, there your right hand holds me. I can't escape from the presence of God. And yet it is interesting that whenever I feel guilty, there seems to be a neurotic behavior pattern that makes me think that maybe I can hide my guilt from God. And I try to hide from the presence of God. There are a lot of people that didn't come to church this morning simply because they have a guilty conscience and they figure if they stay away from church, they can hide from the presence of God. I'll stay home today. As though God dwelt here in the church, and if you just will, you know, close the doors and pull the shades, he can't find you. But Paul the Apostle expressed it accurately when he said, "For in him we live, we move, we have our being." Daniel, as he was rebuking Belshazzar for his sacrilege, declared unto him, "And the very God in whose hand your breath exists." You might say the only way you can escape from God is to stop breathing, but even then you don't escape from him. You will enter into even a more clearer consciousness of his presence at that moment than any time else. No escaping from God. It's neurotic to think that you can escape from God. And to me, it is very interesting that psychologists today tell us that most neurotic behavior patterns stem from a guilt complex. Here it began. Adam was guilty. He felt a consciousness of his guilt. And thus he tried to hide himself from the presence of God. What caused the guilt complex? It was his disobedience to the command of God. Now, as we look at the overall story, we realize that the commandment of God was given to Adam for his own welfare and for his own good. God knew the poison that was in that tree. Now, Adam was deceived into thinking that God wasn't interested in his best welfare. That somehow God was trying to hold him back from a pleasurable, desirable experience. Somehow God didn't quite understand Adam's real need in his life, and Adam really knew better what would make him happy than God did. And so Adam, deceived, thought that he could find a quality of life that God was somehow trying to hold back from him by disobeying the commandment of God. But in reality, God knew what he was talking about. Adam was wrong. And when Adam ate of that tree, he could not reverse his action. He could not go back and be unguilty. But he discovered to his dismay that God was right. all along. There are men today who, as Adam, are deceived concerning the law of God. They look upon the law of God as being very restrictive. God's trying to hold back from me. He's trying to keep me from what I know will make me happy. He's trying to keep me from having a good time. And I know what will make me happy. And men today are still willing to violate the law of God, thinking that they know better than God for their own lives, only to discover that once they have violated that law of God, it's irreversible. I can't go back and undo what I have done. And I realized that God was right all the time. But now I'm guilty. I have that sense of guilt. I try to avoid God. I try to hide from God. But worse than that, I have lost fellowship. I've lost contact with God. And my life becomes dead, empty, purposeless. The purpose of God in coming into the garden was fellowship and the restoration of fellowship. And so when God came into the garden, Adam hid himself. And God cried, "Where art thou?" That was not the call of an arresting officer. That was the heart cry and sob of a loving father whose child had gone astray. Where are you? It is wrong to assume that man does not know the truth about himself. Deep down inside, each of us are aware of where we are. Now, we do spend a lot of our lives trying to cover and conceal the truth that we know about ourselves, because we would be embarrassed if other people knew about us what we know about ourselves. And so much of life is spent in a facade, trying to create an image for other people to behold, wanting them to admire us, wanting them to look up to us, wanting them to think well of us, and thus doing our best to cleverly disguise the truth that we know about ourselves. This clever deception of man is sometimes so well carried off that man becomes guilty of deceiving himself about himself. The Bible speaks about those who have deceived themselves and the truth is not in them. You actually begin to think, well, you know, God doesn't really care. Hath God really said that? Surely I can continue in this and not lose out in my relationship with God. Surely I can violate his laws and it won't have its effect upon me. Surely somehow I can escape the judgment of God. And man begins to deceive himself. But down deep inside, we're not fooled. Down deep inside, there is that Spirit of God crying out, "Where are you?" Really, where are you? We try so hard to hide the truth, but as they say, truth will out. And though we may be successful in hiding the truth from other men, we cannot hide it from ourselves, and it will have its way of working itself out in emotional disturbances, in neurotic behavior patterns, or in some manifested form. The truth will surface. But it is always folly to think that I can hide the truth from God. The Bible says everything is naked and open before Him with whom we have to deal. To think that I am hiding from God is just sheer folly on my part. And so when God's cry comes to me today, "Where are you?" there are really just two places I can be: either in fellowship with Him or out of fellowship with Him. But God desires and yearns that I have that full, rich fellowship with Him, because He knows the benefits that are mine by fellowshipping with God. God desires that you might share His life, that you might share His glory, and thus, instead of just discarding you, instead of just discarding Adam, God came to him and God said to him, "Where are you?" And rather than God just forsaking you and walking away and saying, "Well, they had their chance," He comes to you and He says, "Where are you?" In order that you might see yourself and evaluate yourself. And as the scripture said, if a man will judge himself, then we will not be judged of God. Therefore, let a man examine himself. And this morning, examine yourself. Where are you? With Adam, his sin had created a breach. It separated him from God. And thus, the story of beginnings, we have the beginning of sin and the beginning of man's alienation from God. And sin always alienates a man from God. Isaiah the prophet declared, "God's hand is not short that He cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear, but your sins have separated you from God." That's always the effect of sin within my life, that broken fellowship, that alienation from God. But God comes and He says, "Where are you?" And because God seeks to restore you, He has made provision for your sins. And that which Adam lost in the garden, that life of God and that fellowship with God, has been restored to you through faith in Jesus Christ. Where are you? You know better than anybody else. But where you are, you do not have to remain. You can find forgiveness. God has made the possibility of the reversal of past action. God has made the possibility of the elimination of past guilt. God has made such total provision of forgiveness that the past is made as though it never existed, in order that you might know the glory, the blessing, the joy of fellowship with God. Adam, where art thou? Where are you today? Are you walking in harmony and in fellowship with God, or do you find yourself alienated from that life of God? So may we examine our hearts. And may the Spirit of God search us and know us and show us God's path. Shall we pray? Thank you, Father, for the work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts this morning, as he seeks to reveal to us just where we are in our relationship to you. Father, help us now, that we might come into a place of restored fellowship with thee through the forgiveness and the blotting out of our sins by Jesus Christ. We ask it, Father, in his name and for his sake. Amen. Shall we stand? The life that is out of fellowship with God is out of harmony with its own nature, because God has created you for fellowship. Out of harmony with your own nature, there is a natural restlessness of that man apart from God. The Bible says the wicked is like a troubled sea being tossed to and fro. Therefore, there is no rest, saith the Lord, for the wicked. And yet, rest for your soul is exactly the thing that Jesus has promised to you if you would come to him. For he said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Your mind troubled by your life, by the world around you, the turmoil that we see in our current society that has created the inner turmoil, wondering, what's it all coming to? Where's it all going? What should I do? How can I escape? And all of these multitudes of problems that have been put upon us by our present modern day society, it is good to know that there is a place of refuge, a place of strength, a place of fellowship with God. And though the worlds are moved around me, though the mountains be cast in the midst of the sea, I need not fear, because God is with me. His presence, his power, his love, to protect, to guide, to sustain. Where are you? Are you walking in fellowship with God today? Or are you trying to hide from God? Trying to hide from God is sheer folly. You're doomed for failure. You'll never hide from him. Better that you fellowship with him than trying to hide. I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room and there open up your heart and life to God and find the forgiveness of your sins and the restoring of fellowship with him. for your sake, for your family's sake. Now the Lord bless you. May the Lord be with you. May you be aware and conscious of His presence and of His love, and may you walk in fellowship with Him this week as He takes you by the hand to lead you through this confused, troubled world. May you experience the joy of His presence and the power of His Spirit. In Jesus' name.